Hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out the podcast this week. Before we get to my guest, couple of things. This coming weekend, December 7th through the 10th, I'm going to be at the Improv in Tampa, Florida. So if you guys are in the area, come out. Always a great time down there. And there's no humidity, so you can't beat that. December 7th through the 10th at the Improv in Tampa. December 14th to the 17th, I'm going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone. And I'm going there because I love the crowds. The club's great. And it's always fun to go hang out in front of the Mutual of Omaha headquarters. You know, I'm easily entertained. So, yeah, come on out to one of those venues, Tampa, December 7th through the 10th, Omaha, December 14th to the 17th. Little pet peeve, got a buddy of mine doing very, very well. He's got a 5-bedroom house on a pond, 25-foot boat, and 4 cars, and went to visit him. And he put me and my wife up in his spare bedroom. In the spare bedroom, the mattress is a blow-up mattress. Yeah, that's basically just giving me the finger. Why don't you just tell me not to come? And it wasn't even a good blow-up mattress. It's one of those mattresses, the minute both of you get on it, you roll into the middle. Yeah, yeah. I get the message. So he's coming down to visit for a couple of days. I live in New York City in an apartment. So I got him a inflatable float for the pool. You know, the one in the shape of a duck. Yeah, and I don't even have a pool. So... and he's about 250 pounds, so he can enjoy sleeping on that. So anyway, if you have somebody come over, have him stay in a bed, okay? I'm not 6. We're not camping with the Boy Scouts. I'm an adult. You have a boat and 4 cars. You get me a mattress with springs, okay? It's very simple. My guest this week, Kevin Brennan, good friend of mine, great stand-up. We did this live at the Comedy Cellar in New York. We had a really cool conversation about his stand-up, how he was beaten as a child with a belt, which was hilarious, and growing up, 1 of 10 kids. Talked about sexual harassment and all the stuff that was going on with that. And we were also joined by Noam Dorman, the owner of the Comedy Cellar, who sort of came in later, latter part of the interview. So it was a really fun conversation with two really funny, cool guys. So enjoy it. I had a great time talking to them. And hope to see you in Tampa or in Omaha.
I just did a set.
You just did a set downstairs? Yeah. Are you like you're feeling your blood flowing through you?
Not really.
Is your adrenaline kicked
in?
Are you not going to check your phone while we're doing
no,
this?
No, I'm taping it. It stops pretty quick, the adrenaline.
I know.
Kicks off pretty quick.
And no matter how tired I am before I go up, once I get up there, man, I'm awake, and then I can...
Yeah, but it's not that, but it's like sometimes, you know, I had a good set, but it still is like it ends basically when it's over.
Yeah.
You know, it used to last longer, but it doesn't really last.
Then you have to go back to, like, real life, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, plus then I got to do chores and shit, because I got to, like, go... a lot of times I'll go shopping from my... food shopping after my set because
for the family.
I don't want to do it the next day, you know, for my kids or whatever, if they need shit for the morning or whatever.
We're talking to Kevin Brennan, very funny comedian.
I'll food shop. No, it's annoying because my wife works now, my wife hates to shop. Like, she won't listen to this. And I, like, a lot of times I'll say stuff on my podcast, like, as a joke, but fact of the matter is she don't like to shop. She'll come home from work. Even when she didn't work, she will come home and go, "What's for dinner?" I go, "You're a woman. Like, you wouldn't think to like pick up like some food? Like, who comes home empty fucking handed two kids?"
And she's not working. She wasn't working at the
time. I mean, she's working now, so now she has an excuse. It's better when she's working because at least
but
now
what
I don't.
What did she say when she wasn't working? You come home, you're like, "You can't come home with some..."
She go, "Oh, no," because then I got it. I think she thinks it's like, here's my theory. It's like a lot of women, I'm not going basing it on like comics because, you know, most comics aren't married or whatever. But, you know, I think women, they don't want to do shit their mom did, you know? Like I say, like, black people don't want to ride the back of the bus. Did I say black of the bus or back of the bus? Anyway.
Black of the bus.
So they don't want to ride the back of the bus. So women don't want to do shit that their mom did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she'll cook, but she don't want to shop because I guess she thinks it's like, Plus, in New York, you want to, I mean, even when I come home sometimes, I got bags of groceries. I feel like a mark, you know, I feel like I'm about to get robbed because, you know, obviously I have some cash. Maybe I don't have any left.
And you're a pussy for shopping.
Yeah, I'm a bitch for shopping. And they could just fucking come up to me and I can't run. So I'm basically, I have to like.
You can't run with bags.
No, I can't. I could drop my groceries, but.
No, you know what you need? You need one of those old person carts with wheels and you can run with it and you can wheel it and run really fast.
My wife has that. So she'll, sometimes she'll go shopping and she'll make like a big production. She'll get the fucking cart and she'll be like, look at what I did. You know, look at what I did. Whenever she fights, she goes, you clean the toilets. She cleans the, how often do you clean a toilet?
Exactly. Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, not even that. So,
how old are your kids?
5 and 9.
They're not really making a mess. They don't take huge shits that make a mess like adults.
No,
anyway.
So it's like, but she'll say like, so if she cleans, if she does something, she'll make a big production out of it. So she'll be like, look, I did. I cleaned the fucking toilets. But I'm cleaning shit all day. Look, because I'm a little OCD. Plus, I grew up in a big family. So we couldn't, the house was never a mess because you couldn't fucking.
I would think it'd be a big Irish family, but all those people, I think it'd be a big mess. No?
No. Because that was like, it was like military. The shit had to be done by 5 o'clock. Like the dishes had to be put away.
Your mother or your father more? Like
my dad. My mom was a snitch. My mom would always snitch on my dad. she would always snitch on us.
To the dad, and then
when
dad
my dad came home, and then my dad would beat us. I'm not even kidding. He would like literally beat us if something happened.
My mom would beat me. She'd beat me with her shoe.
No, my dad would. My mom, if something happened, my mom didn't like. She would wait till my dad got home. Maybe after dinner, tell him. Then he would call us down. My dad was a lawyer, so he would call us down one at a time. Get all our sides of the story and then beat us all. I'm not even kidding. Every time. Nobody
hit
didn't
you with
get.
His hand or belt?
No, a
or
belt. What? Nobody didn't get beat.
I got hit with hands.
No, belt.
Shoes.
Belts are, it's nasty. I couldn't even imagine beating my kids with a belt. Like, they taunt me. They go, Dad, beat. I'll say, you want me to beat you with
you
a belt?
Adrian Peterson and beat her with a switch. Beat
yeah, but I wear. You got to be black to get a switch, right? I'm kidding, of course. No, but I don't even know where you get a switch. You buy them at the 99 cent store?
You gotta go to a white person's house who has trees and pull it off the tree. So why don't you and your wife kind of have an understanding that she does certain things and you do certain things?
It is an understanding.
It's
like, I do all.
Home shopping.
Huh? I do all the shopping. I didn't even give a shit because it's like when she shops, she buys, like, today I said on the way home, there's a store in our fucking building and she don't even want to go down there. I said, can you, on the way home, can you get some ketchup? So she comes home. I'm like, I knew it. Organic ketchup. Like, I don't want organic cabbage. I want fucking red, disgusting ketchup. Yeah. So she's like, this is all they had. They didn't even have regular ketchup. She goes, it was this or like some real organic, like green ketchup or whatever. So it's like, you can't even. So I basically just do it myself because then I can buy it. If she buys it, it's all organic.
See,
fucking.
You like me, like you can't. You said you're sort of OCD, like. You like things a certain way, certain foods. You don't like any change. Is that your thing?
No, it's just, no, I like to have, like, if the house is a mess, I go nuts.
See, like, I don't like, see that in you. You seem like,
no.
Like always in your head. You'd be
no.
Like, fuck it. You know, the kids.
No, I go, I leave the house. Like, if she's home and the kids are home, like, if she's not working that day and the house is a mess, I just leave. I go to we have a third floor, like, general area. I just go down and I tell I got to do something or whatever. I just get the fuck out because.
You have a general sitting area in your house?
With, yeah,
like a waiting room?
No, a general pouting area. No, it's, I go to the third, there's like a general area where it's like a gym, it's a new building, so it's like a gym, you know, fitness center, pool, outdoor pool, but it's like a dog walk, all this shit, so you can go down there and just sit, because she knows I can't fucking stand it if it's a mess, and she'll go, I'll clean it, she's always been like, I'll clean it when
I
get to it, yeah, now
so
I used to joke about,
it's all the same,
huh?
It's all, like, usually Hispanics, Italians, like, they're clean. They're usually like obsessed.
No, my wife gets mad that she says I'm not clean, but I'm basically, she does it at her own schedule. And I used to do a joke. I said, my wife, I forgot exactly the wording of the joke, but basically the joke was, and you know, and I go, it's annoying because my wife is a slob and it's annoying because she's Hispanic and I thought they kept shit clean like at the hotel, you know? Because most, you know, cleaning people are Hispanic,
exactly.
Especially certain, you know, the South and the, and
oh, yeah.
Texas and California, they're all Mexican.
When I'm on
they're
the
all.
Road, it's 80%.
Yeah, they're all. You don't even know. Like, when I first started dating my wife, we would go to these. Remember, we were at this hotel in Chicago.
She a maid at a hotel? Is that how you met her?
Yeah. No, but she was a. No. She was a. I met her right here. No, I know, but I'm trying to remember this. If I laugh, I'll forget the story. I'm like an etch a sketch. I forget everything
I'll
once
hit
I
you
laugh.
With my belt.
So, yeah, then I'll remember. So then,
were you ever? So go ahead.
So we were at this hotel in Chicago, like this nice hotel, and all the maids were Mexican. There's a lot of Mexicans in Chicago too.
Is she
always
Mexican,
happen? No, she's Panamanian. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I said, you know, I told her what to ask them, and they go out of their way, because they don't expect, you know, it's not like they don't expect, but like if you can tell them exactly what you want in Spanish,
they'll take care
of
it.
They go nuts because you're one of them, and you know, she's made it. She's the Jefferson. She's moving on up. She's not working there anymore. She's like actually a customer. She has a room.
You're the thing we all aspire to be. Did you change? Were you like kind of mellower when you dated her, and then she saw the real you when she got?
Yeah, I used to do a joke about that. I think I still do. No, but that's everybody, yeah. You know, like, I mean, when I met her, I thought like this, she's amazing, but she still is pretty good because she doesn't like hold a grudge, you know?
How did you meet her?
I met her here at the Comedy Cellar.
Did your Irish family care that you were marrying somebody who's not Irish? Or
no, they didn't give a fuck. They just happy that I wasn't gay. No, because I'm the third.
The jury's still out on that.
No, I'm the third of 10. So everybody was like, my brother who was fourth, he came to me at one point like years ago. No, Tommy, you don't know him. Yeah. He came to me, he goes, you know, I know we're supposed to get married in order, but I'm going to have to, I can't wait any longer. So, he was joking because he was young anyway. So, no, but the funny thing was we got married in Vegas. And
why'd you do that?
Just because I liked Vegas and I was in LA at the time. And
Did your family come?
Yeah, and we have a lot of relatives, and my dad has a lot of family in California. So we didn't like do an invitation. We just told people we're getting married. We just sent out emails. I told my mom, sent out emails. I said, we're getting married at this hotel, this date. So if you want to come. And then we had a good turnout, you know. So, but we did it at the Venetian, you know, and they have this big outside like.
What'd you charge for cover?
It was $10 to drink.
Nice.
No, it was expensive. I had to pay for it. I wouldn't have done it again. It was too expensive.
You did it at the Venetian? That's fucking expensive.
No, it was very expensive, huh?
Were you successful at the time?
Yeah. No, I just did an HBO thing. That was the only reason I even got married. I just did a pilot, so I had a lot of cash, and we were dating, and she goes, we're talking about getting married. She goes, you haven't even proposed to me. So I proposed to her.
How long did you?
And then I said I was doing a pilot in April. I said before even found out one way or the other, I go let's get married let's get married in May, because that way I'm like. I know if the pilot didn't get picked up, then I would, like, bail. So I'm like, let's just force the issue. And then, of course, the pilot did get picked up, and I had to get married anyway because I'd already, like, committed to it. But anyway, when we got married, it was real sunny. It was, like, sunny. It was, you know, Memorial Day weekend. It was very sunny. So we were outside, and that's when it really hit me what I was doing was special because the Irish get disgustingly pale.
Yeah.
When it's very bright, it's a bright sun. That was a very bright Vegas sun. So we're all super pale, and then my wife's family and her friends are all dark, and they look darker in the sun, you know. So then I was like, "Holy shit!" Because it was just me and her. It don't even hit you because, you know, in New York, everybody.
There were all those people around, and like it was a thing, and
no, because I realized, oh, I guess it is something, because it was like West Side Story, you know. It wasn't like we didn't have a wedding like who are you with the groom or the bride, but you didn't have to ask because all her family's dark,
right.
And all her friends are dark, you
did
know.
Did you have like a colored only section?
Yeah, we did. We had a colored only drinking fountain.
Good, you know.
No, the Venetian we cost a little extra. But the Venetian, how they are in Vegas, they accommodate any whim. Except you can't curse. I learned that when I cursed at my wedding.
You cursed during the toast?
No, I cursed at the, because they fucked up the, yeah,
you're
they
like
fucked
me.
Up the reception. So I was cursing at them. So they called security.
What did you say? Wait, what did you say? What did they fuck up and what did you say?
They put they just fucked up the reception, the meal.
See, that's
so I told them I didn't. They put 20% on the tip. I said I'm not paying a tip, you know. So then we got into a little fight, and then you know, whatever. Then they heard about the next day, and So they call me and they go, the manager goes, yeah, you know, I wasn't there. I go, yeah, I know you weren't there because it wouldn't have got fucked up if you were there. Because it was, you know, it was the Sunday of Labor, of Memorial Day weekend. And they told me that that's the busiest weekend of the year for in Vegas or for that
so
restaurant.
Why is it the manager?
Yeah, that's what I always say. Why is the manager? Because the manager don't want to work the weekends. Even a manager, when they're busy, that's what I hate about comedy clubs, when the manager's never there. Because it's like, no, I'm there during the week. Nothing happens during the week. Like, you're there during the day, during the week. Nothing happens there in Vegas during the day, during the week.
Shit happens at 11:30 at night.
And then they have these, like, incompetent fucking lackeys.
Who don't give a shit.
Who don't give a shit because, yeah, it's not there.
I wouldn't give a shit either. They're not getting paid anything.
It's not their restaurant, you know.
So how long did you date your wife before you got married?
Not long.
I came off. Did you get because you got her pregnant?
Huh?
Did you get her pregnant?
She was pregnant when I met her. That's how Puerto Rican she is.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
You said in your act.
I should. She was Puerto She was pregnant when I met her. No, she was. No, I met her here. I was just coming out of a relationship, so I wasn't even looking for something, but I just knew I was gonna marry her. Like she, it was just like she was just. She had a good sense of humor, and she was, you know.
See, I think you're like me in your relationship, and my wife is probably like your wife because I get into a lot of confrontations with people, and I can get real cranky real fast, and I say whatever's on my mind. And my wife tries to kind of temper me a little bit and say, you know, you got to, like, let things roll off your back. And I can't. And
it's
not like I'm looking for trouble either. It's like it's my nature. And then something happens. And if I feel like something's fucked up, like the thing you talked about with the manager, I would have done the same thing. And I'd be like, why am I dealing with this on my wedding day? I could.
Yeah. People are like, well, no, just, you know, it's not a big deal. I'm like, yeah, well, it's I'm paying all the money.
And you guys
knew you're going to get a 20% gratuity.
Right.
So, of course, what's your incentive to not be a fucking, to not fuck it up, you know?
That's
and then
exactly
they're like,
right.
No, we didn't. It wasn't like that. I go, I used to work in restaurants. I know how it is. You guys are a piece of shit. And then they called the police or the security because I was cursing at them. And I was like, whatever. I go, I can get a hooker, but I can't curse, right? Because everybody knows you can get a hooker in Vegas, but you can't curse. You can't chew gum.
They won't curse in front of like all the guests or like off.
Yes,
the
people saw me. It wasn't like in front of everybody, but people saw me. You know, a couple people saw me. My brother-in-law, who's now dead, came over and he goes, "You okay?" I go, "Yeah, I'm all right." Because he knew he wasn't family. Most of my family members, they stayed away, you know, because they didn't want to get dragged into it.
Dragged into your shit.
Yeah, but he was like, he's more like a. He's from a big family too. He's more like. You know, he's from Chicago. His name's Bob. He was from Chicago, so he grew up around cops and firemen. So they're more like.
Is there anything good about growing up? With
let's help a guy out. I don't think so. I mean, I think if you're like a working class family, like if you're like a cop or fireman or, but otherwise, I think it's dysfunctional. I think it leads to dysfunction.
Catholic thing, and
they didn't. Yeah, they didn't. I mean, the thing was like everybody had a big family in our neighborhood, and the weird thing was if they didn't. Like, if they would have stopped at 5, then everybody would have been, like, known they were using birth control, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost like, yeah, they're good. They're Catholic, but they're not really good Catholics,
well,
you know?
We're Italian. We're not good Catholics. We had 3.
Yeah, you gotta lose some. Like, if you're a good Catholic family, you got to lose some. You got to have, like, 9 and maybe lose one. Because then everybody goes, that's good Catholic.
Yeah.
No, you got to lose one and then have more. Then they go, that's
right,
a good
that's
Catholic.
Really
those are good Catholics. But they shouldn't have had it because my dad didn't have the personality for a lot of kids. Like, my dad didn't, he didn't really.
Did he just wasn't attentive or didn't have a temper? He had a temper.
No, he just, it's like a lot, you know? It's like a lot. Like, my brother, my
who
cunt brother.
No normal human being can deal with.
No, my cunt brother, Neil, you know, he talked about my dad. He did a one-man show. He talked about my dad. And I'm thinking, like, when my dad was Neil's age. Or when Neil was my dad's age, I don't know how to explain it. When my dad was like 43, which Neil is now, my dad had 10 kids. So if Neil had 10 kids, would that fuck up your vibe a little bit?
A little bit.
Would that be like, oh, I'm a little on edge today because
exactly.
I got 10 fucking kids to feed and they're annoying as fuck on top of that. When I go home, I can't just like relax. And then my sisters all said he was an alcoholic because he would come home. My dad was a lawyer, you know. He never missed a day of work. So if he was an alcoholic, he was the world's greatest
alcoholic.
Because he was never hungover.
What was that era? My father.
No, but not only that, he would come home. He would make himself like, you know, he'd put the Manhattans in a fucking, he would ice them down.
Nice.
And he would have like maybe one Manhattan or two Manhattans before dinner and then have a beer at dinner. And then that was it. But they said he was an alcoholic because he was like, but everybody, like you were about to say before I cut you off, everybody was a would drank back then.
My
I mean,
father, every morning when he woke up, he had a shot of blackberry brandy. Just to get his like juices flowing.
Wow.
He'd come home, he'd have two or three beers. Like he'd have a beer before dinner, he'd have a couple
Where
of
was
beers.
He going to work? Did he have brandy?
He put floors in.
Oh, yeah, that's different. And, I mean,
but he wasn't drunk when he went. It was just, it's like this Italian thing. Like,
yeah, to get him going.
You get like the anisette, like that.
Yeah. Plus, that probably is good for your health.
Yeah, you know, that generation, we didn't do it, but there was some of those people were letting their kids drink wine. At, you know, the Italians at the table. At
yeah.
You know, hey, let them have some red wine. It's good for you.
Yeah, but red wine is good for you.
Yeah, I know, but it's fucking. It goes right to my hips. I can't.
No, because my doctor just said drink red wine. So, because of my cholesterol.
Half a bottle a night. So, is your personality your only? Is there anybody else like you and your family, or all unique personality?
No, but you know, they're more. You know, my mom's really easygoing, but they're probably more like me. They're more like my dad. I think that gene wins over. Like, the more like, I mean, I think if like it's a meeting of. You know, a passive personality and an aggressive personality. I think the aggressive personality wins over, tends to win over.
Yeah, my mother's aggressive. My father's passive. And so my mother dominated everything, and, like, my father just was like...
Yeah. No, I think even with the kids, that's the one. That seems to be, at least in my family, even with my dad's family, seem like the passive ones. It just seems like the passive characteristics don't pass on as well. Maybe that's just like the, you know, survival of the fittest. I don't know. But really when I started doing my podcast was like, that's when it really came out because I could just vent more, you know?
Yeah, but you've always vented and you vent.
No, not really. You can't vent in stand-up. Yeah, stand-ups,
that's kind of the nature of your act. That's what's
No, but I can't do it because it's like I can't. I mean, it helps me now because I vent in my podcast that I'm more used to venting. But I can't vent if I'm doing 15 minutes and I follow some guy. And plus, I don't look like I don't look like Lewis Black, so I can't go up there and start venting. No, they'll just be like, oh, "This is."
Yeah, but the nature of your jokes are like, I don't know.
No.
It's like, you know, you were talking about, we were on a show together last week or this weekend or whatever here at the Cellar, and you were talking about school teachers and like, what's wrong with school?
But those are new jokes. I'm saying like in the old days, you can't. It's set up for you not to vent. You know what I mean? If you're a white dude, if you're a black dude, you can vent. If you're like, well, if you whatever, but it's set up for you to just do your 15 minutes. If you're headlining, it's a different story. But if you're doing 15 minutes or 12 or whatever the fuck you get, however long the spot is, you can't really vent because they've seen six guys already, and all of a sudden you start screaming.
Yeah.
They're like, why the fuck is this guy screaming? Plus, they don't buy from me anyway because I'm too good looking. You know what I mean?
No way.
I mean, if I was a hideous troll like Dave Attell, and he doesn't even vent. I mean, he used
the anal beads jokes to get out.
Yeah, he used to vent more, but like you still got to do the joke. Dude, it's just New York is not set up for venting, you know. And stand up in general isn't set up for venting. I mean,
unless you're headlining.
No, but even if you're like Kinnison, it's your whole thing, and you do it every show, and then even then it's exhausting probably. But even guys. You know, I mean, you watch Louis C.K. Anybody who's like big enough, they could just do it. I mean, I guess Burr vents, but it's still, you still got to do the joke.
It's more like just the style of what, like,
yeah, it's the Boston style. Yeah, it's like, it's Dennis Leary. Yeah, so I'm just saying, you can't really vent the way you want to, even unless you're in a particularly bad mood. But then even then, you still got to deliver the jokes, you know?
Yeah.
So I really enjoy this because doing a podcast because when I go on stage, I feel like, I'm more used to venting now, so I can go in and out of it more, you know? I can be more of a dick because on my podcast, I'm a dick, you know? So, and again, if you come up on stage and you're a dick, the crowd's like...
Are you trying to hone a persona of being a dick?
No, I'm just saying, like, if I go up on stage and I'm a dick, you know? Now I'm so used to being a dick that when I'm a dick, I don't react to my own being a dick, you know what I mean? Like, if I say something, I'm being dicky, and they react, I don't react. I'm almost like a hooker, you know, like a hooker has to deal with so many different situations, but she's like a hooker, so she's used to, so I don't react.
So you don't shock yourself.
Shock myself. No matter what I say, I never react to
what
I never.
What I like about some of your act is, like, that you are aggressive on, not in your presentation, but you'll talk about, like, I like to talk about race. You'll talk about, from, like, as white guys, it's hard to talk about that stuff, and you go after it.
Yeah, but you got it. You get, no, I'm saying that because of that, because I can just do it, because if I, look, let's put it this way. Like, if I go up and on stage, and there's, like, and nobody knows me, then I feel like, but if, like, three people know me, and now more people know me from doing my podcast. So if three people know me and somebody heckles me, they go, he's racist. I know my fans will jump in and go, like, fuck you, that's his act.
Right.
Like, that's what he does. So I know, like, even if it's just in my imagination,
yeah.
I know they'll, like, I know I'm not so worried about them saying I'm racist. First of all, my wife's Hispanic, so I'm not racist. So even if they call me on that, I'd be like, my wife's Hispanic, how can I be racist? I even have a joke about it.
I was wondering, do you use the fact that she's Hispanic? Does that help you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go farther,
yeah.
As a white guy.
No, because I got heckled here a couple months ago, and a woman.
I know that was me.
No, woman goes, you're racist. Because I do a joke, I say I'm racist, and I've been doing it for a while. And the woman goes, you're right. I go, yeah, I just said I was racist, and then it became this big thing. But I actually have a joke where I say, you know, how can I be racist? My wife's Hispanic. It makes no sense. And then I say, well, maybe it makes perfect sense. So I keep an eye on what the fuck they're up to, you know? So that, you know, it's kind of, it's like not the greatest joke, but it gets the laugh out of the situation, right. You know? So, yeah. So between that and then, like, doing a podcast, I can't play. Like, and now you're fucked. If you're playing by the rules of a, like, unless you're Mike Birbiglia, you know, where you're like a real natural kind of low key, you know, like not offending people. If you're like a regular white dude, it's going to be fucking hard, because you got to, like, even tonight I said, well, women get mad about everything, you know, or I was going to do a joke. And then a woman goes, no. And then I had a joke. I didn't even want to do the joke.
Why did you bail when she said no? Just fucking
no, because I didn't want to do the joke. I go, I can't do that joke. I want to go to another joke. But I'm saying, like, if you're not committed to it, then you're gonna lose.
But you're gonna
lose anyway. I'm saying, like, you gotta be committed to it. Like,
you gotta not. Where,
no. I'm just saying, you gotta be committed to it where you don't react. Where I don't go, oh, I don't go shut the fuck up. I go, I just run with it because I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm just trying to say offensive things. I mean, I want to be funny first, but I also want to fucking tweak that, because what's the point of doing stand-up if it's just going to play it safe?
I just did a joke tonight. There's this, this was in the news, Indian couple in Tampa, 33 years old. The guy, the husband, decides he's going to discipline the wife. He has his parents fly over to India to help him discipline the wife, which basically slap her around. And I talk about that. Now, before I did it, I had words, you know, not a problem, but just talked to an Indian guy in the audience.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to talk about this, and all you people are going to be not sure if you can laugh because there's an Indian guy in the audience.
Yeah.
Relax. And if I say that, it relaxes them, because people get really uptight. It's like we're so on that pendulum of PC on one side now, that if you're pushing any envelope, even a little bit, people are like, I'll say to somebody, you're black, and they'll go, I'm like, what the fuck, man? He's black. I can't say that's Asian.
Yeah, and I said that to a woman tonight.
I'm not
I go,
exaggerating.
I mean, no, I was there was a woman at a table. She was the only black woman there, and there was like seven or eight people and one black woman. So I said to her, I go, you know, I didn't say it right away, but I said, you're black, right? And she said, yeah. But, it, you know, and that always kind of gets the crowd like, but again, I do a joke where I say my wife thinks she's black.
Wait, you said you're black, you know, like as a question?
Yeah, I go, you're black. I go, no, because my wife's Panamanian, so you could be Panamanian.
Oh.
And then she goes, no, I'm black, you know, and then it always kind of does something to the crowd, because you're pointing out the obvious, but they can't do that at their job. They can't say to a woman, you're black, right? Or you're African American. They have to like ask somebody in the bathroom.
Have you sexually harassed anybody? Let's get it out now.
No.
I don't even. Who's next? Garrison,
no, it's so. I called. Whatchamacallit? I called Matt Lauer.
No, you did.
Yeah, I did. I called him on this. I mean, it's on my Twitter. You can go to
what,
people.
What made you say? What,
no, on November 20th, I tweeted when he got busted. I said something. I can't wait to see what they have on Matt Lauer. Something like that.
You mean when Garrison Keillor got busted?
No. When Charlie Rose got busted.
Charlie Rose.
So I said I can't wait to see what they have on
Matt Lauer.
Then on Thanksgiving, I was watching a stupid parade because my kids woke up, And then, you know, he was hosting and being all this. I said, and at one point he was like, took a picture with somebody. I go, keep your hands where we can see them, Matt Lauer. And then I put at, and then I tagged Charlie Rose too. Charlie Rose had already happened like on Monday, and this was on a Thursday. So when he got busted on Monday, people were tweeting me like, you called it. Who's next? Who's next?
So I started to talk about it in my act. I mean, I think you got to talk about it. I mean, Chappelle kind of came out in defense of Louis the other night here. He was saying, you know, look, it sucks, but like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. I mean,
yeah, but he can do it. I mean, the crowd, you know, I mean, he can say whatever he wants, huh? First of all, he's black and he's famous, so he can say whatever he wants. And then, you know, it was like the same thing what Louis was doing before. He was like, I would see Louis do jokes. I'm like, if they didn't know who he was, they would be booing him.
Right. Well, that pedophile joke he did on SNL was like, I couldn't believe he did it and got away with it.
Yeah, and it was like, it wasn't even a good joke. It wasn't even a joke where like, oh, I got to say this. Like, so he was obviously like pushing the envelope all the time, you know? So, and Chappelle doesn't now do it because no one's going to heckle him. If they heckle him, they throw him out.
Right.
So he's basically got carte blanche. And then they wonder like, oh my God, like, oh shit. It's like these
Why
guys.
Why did they act so irresponsible?
No, these guys take advantage of. You think Matt Lauer doesn't take advantage of the fact that he's like the only dude
working there, and he's
the king?
The only dude. His show generates $500 million.
Yeah, revenue. More than any other show on
right.
NBC.
So that's why. And I'm
so
sure
you doesn't think he
out.
Wants some free
exactly.
pussy on the side?
Exactly. I'm sure, and it's coming out that that executives at NBC knew and didn't say anything because they didn't want to fuck with the goose that lays the golden egg.
They knew about Louis. I got into a fight with Dave Rath. I'm like, you fucking clowns. I go, 2 weeks ago, this is all on Facebook. I go, 2 weeks ago, you guys were all sucking his dick, and now you're all pretending like you didn't know. You all knew. Sarah knew, Sarah Silverman, Judd Apatow, because he was shitting on Louis. They all knew.
And Dave Rath definitely
knew because he's a fucking manager. Managers do nothing. All they do is talk to people all day. So you think he don't fucking know?
Yeah.
So the fact that they're all, I said, you guys made him this fucking deity.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, you make him this super villain.
Right.
I go, he's neither.
Right.
He's neither. It's your fault. And it's, you know, it's TV's fault. TV makes fucking...
Yeah, but they jump... It's rats jumping from a sinking ship. We talked about this a little bit on your
No,
podcast.
I know, but
it's
you
like
you
got... It's the St. Pat's Cathedral thing. The minute it happened, everybody ran for the fucking hills.
Yeah, you got to be, especially a manager, especially anybody in L.A., you got to be on the right side of any issue. It's pathetic. That's a good thing about living in L.A., in New York, because you don't see all these big-time managers. So, you know, like, if I can get in a fight with Dave Rath, and he can't do anything to me. Like, he can't... You know, I mean, if I saw him in L.A., he might say something to me, but he wouldn't say shit to me here. He'd be like...
Was he trying to defend himself?
No, it's because Sarah Silverman, Sarah Silverman lost her virginity to me. So I'm linked with her for like...
That's so weird.
Know.
I did too.
Yeah. You lost my...
No, you, remember?
Yeah, I do remember now.
Dad hit me with a belt.
In the Poconos. No, so people always bring that up. And so whenever I say something about Sarah, all my fans are like, yeah, you go get no but she when she came out on her show and said, you know, how can I don't know what to say, I love Louis, but I know he did a bad thing. She knew all along. Her sister dated him. Laura Silverman dated Louis.
Going cross country.
Yeah,
him and
yeah. So for her to be like, now all of a sudden be like, I can't believe it. So I said, I go.
Why do you think people do that? Why do people who know it's the reality act like they didn't do it?
Because they're phony show business types. That's all it is. They're all fucking phony.
Yeah, but here's the hypocrisy. The comic is supposed to be the last bastion of truth in the sense.
That's
of
the
like,
joke of it.
But,
that's
but
the
that's
fucking joke of it.
Like, here's the. That's like I said to my wife the other night. You know, I'm not a saint. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit of a hypocrite, but not to this extent. It's like between what these people are doing and then what they're saying in reaction, they're all being hypocrites. If they all knew. Right, but if somebody like Sarah or somebody or Rath, if they were a comic and then said, saw somebody doing that, they'd shit on that person for doing what they're doing. It's like there's...
What do you mean?
Well, like, you know...
If he wasn't famous, so Rath comes after me.
Right.
There was a picture on Facebook. There was a picture of Sarah. So then I said, I go, who gives a fuck what she thinks? She's not the prime minister. So then people are jumping in like, who the fuck are you? You're not the prime minister. I go, I'm not. I didn't say I was the prime minister. I said, who gives a fuck? I go, she knew. So then Dave Rath jumps in. So then I tweeted, something about. He goes. I don't even know. You'd have to read it because I don't even know exactly what he said. But it's on my Facebook thing. It's from like 2 weeks ago. But then I tweeted something. I go. But then I, you know, he's a pretty big time manager. He's like Patton Oswalt and Pete Holmes and others, Arch Barker. Like, he's got some pretty
Elmo.
Big...
He's got Elmo now.
Who?
Elmo.
Elmo.
You know, that was the thing that lit the wick. The guy who did Elmo was fucking diddling little kids, and they fired him, the black dude.
That's why they fired him?
Yeah, because he was fucking, he was, like, doing inappropriate shit with little kids, and that was the thing that started.
Oh, he made it seem like it was nothing, it was just all
I know,
nothing.
I have two friends that were doing a documentary on him.
And about that, or just because he was Elmo?
Elmo and and that came out, and the fucking they couldn't.
Yeah, as soon as you start looking, that's why Matt Lauer got busted, because the New York Times was looking into him, so they knew.
They were circling. Last night, you got Washington Post, New York Times, all the major networks digging. Nobody is safe. I'm waiting for fucking people from Wall Street to get laid nailed. People from the sports world.
I want Jerry Seinfeld to get busted. That'd be great. No, because then it'd be like, even the fact that Louis got busted, I'm friendly with Louis, but even the fact that he got busted, it was just like, on some level, I don't know how many times I've been here, he comes in, he bumps me or goes on right after me, like, the crowd goes nuts. So it's like, they make these guys into something
that pisses you off.
No, it just makes you guys, he's not a, you act like he's a fucking hero. He does comedy,
yeah, but
you know?
But when you get to be that big, you think you're untouchable. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, but he was doing it before. I'm just saying, like, the crowd is like, how could Matt Lauer not? How could Matt Lauer just sit there? He's making $25 million a year. There's all these women that he could have them fired at any point. How is he not? And then people are like, his bosses protect him. He's been doing his shit for years. And then how could he not? As a dude, how could he not try to get some extra side pussy? I mean, Clinton did it. The only reason Obama didn't do it is because Michelle would beat the fuck out of him. You know what I mean? Like the president of the United States is looking for side pussy. Guys have been... Guys, I mean, Andrew Schultz does a great bit about this. Guys, he goes, if you're a guy and you're offered pussy, it's like it goes against everything and your being to reject it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why if you marry an NBA athlete or a professional baseball player,
signed up for
or like a big comic or whatever, it's good luck, because it's like women throw themselves at them. And
right.
So if Matt Lauer, he probably knows that somebody wants to fuck him.
Yeah.
And then he pushes it, and then he's not, because he's married and he's
and he
the
knows
boss.
He's not going to get fucking spanked for it because he's too important to the network.
Yeah, why would they fire him? Because he's got some side pussy with somebody who's trying to climb. I mean, Sarah Silverman fucked a lot of guys, and that didn't hurt her career. So it's like, if you're a woman fucking guys, fucking Matt Lauer is not bad for your career, is what I'm trying to say.
No, but I mean, look, I mean, for Harvey Weinstein, it got to the point where he was so untouchable. That he had it in his contract that he had to pay certain amounts to settle claims, like $250 for one, $500 for two.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would pay? In what kind of contract?
The board of his company
would pay.
Made a contract that said they didn't have to pay; he had to pay if anything inappropriate came up.
Who had to pay?
Harvey.
Oh, out of his own pocket.
They didn't want to be on the hook. But my point is,
they all knew.
They knew to the point where they said, well, we're not going to stop it. We just don't want to have to pay for it. So you can be as big an asshole as you
yeah.
want.
Yeah. So they say. So Matt Lauer's bosses say we didn't know. This is the first. It's like they did know, because why did I know? Because every time there was something about Matt Lauer or Ann Curry, they always said, like, you know, he's in a bad marriage, and you know he's whatever. So you get suspicious, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it'd be great if, like, Tom Hanks got busted, because then it'd be like everybody's dirty. You know what I mean?
No. Well,
it'd be like,
I mean,
so beautiful.
I mean, after Garrison Keillor, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
yeah, but ugly white guy, you gotta get ugly white guys. You gotta go, like, well, how else is he gonna get it?
Well, it's like,
huh?
Fucking.
I know.
It's not even like your uncle. It's like your boring uncle. Like, you know.
No, I know. It's so
boring uncle. Like, his
balls
smell like mothballs.
No,
like,
I know.
It's like.
I mean, you got to feel sorry for the women, especially because they.
I don't want to.
I mean, Harvey Weinstein's so ugly too. You know, he's another
but
ugly
then you're
guy.
Almost like that's like central casting. I need a guy that looks like a fucking sexual predator. Oh yeah, that's.
Yeah,
hard.
Yeah.
But the thing that's, I don't want to sound like a sap, is like, there are some people like you don't want to have nailed for this. You want to think that there's some goodness in the world, like Garrison Keillor and Charlie Rose. Like,
yeah.
I love watching Charlie Rose. I can't even think about him now.
I never liked Charlie Rose. Plus, I heard he was a drunk. And which is going to lead to problems. Like, if you're a drunk
And you get and, fucking horny as shit.
No, yeah, you're drunk, and then you're on the road, and you're like, can you...
He's probably getting a lot of socialite pussy. You know what I mean? Like, because he fucking...
Who, but why was he even trying? I mean, I guess he... I don't know if he's still been doing
you
it, but like...
what he did with that intern? He brought her in and made her watch the movie?
No.
He would have, like, 20, 25-year-old interns come over and work. And then every once in a while, he'd, like... Like, if they're driving in his car, he's...
Yeah, I knew. I heard that. He would reach
the,
between...
He'd reach for the... So he had this one intern.
But that's so sad. You're that old and you take advantage of a...
But he has a move. Like, he would touch the thigh at a certain place.
And he always had his stick shift, right. So he'd have to be moving his hands.
Right, and then it was like... And then the test was how they reacted to the grab on the thigh. Like, yeah. They turned away.
Yeah.
So it's like a fucking 18-year-old. It's like when you're 16. You're
yeah, put the arm around the...
exactly. See,
at the movies.
Touching her tick. Can I get through a twat next? So he calls this girl in, like a 21-year-old intern, and says, hey, I want to show you something. And she thinks it's going to be some news thing. And he puts on this movie called Secretary, which is like an R-rated movie, but like has some really intense sex scenes. And it's a fucking sex scene. And she's sitting there, and he goes, do you like that? What do you think of that? And he's standing there in a bathrobe or something. And she's like, so at that point, I'm going, I think I should get back. I have more filing to do. And he won't let her leave the room. And he shows her something else. And it's like, I don't even know how you get off on that. Like, I don't know how you get off, like, showering in front of somebody.
Or, no.
Like, you really jerking off in front of somebody. Like, this is part of what I'm talking about in my act. I'm like, if I'm going to do it and I'm going to put everything at stake, I'm fucking touching somebody. I'm fucking grabbing a tit. I'm fucking, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but you know what? It's like...
I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's a power thing. I don't understand the
No, it's an awkward situation because I was... what year was this? 2011... I was molested. See, I was molested. 2011. Why is a 50-year-old man? Louis shot a load right into my mouth, like a clown's mouth. No, so I'm working on Norm MacDonald's sports show for Comedy Central, right? Uh-huh. So I'm staying at my brother Neil's house, and it's near Norm's house. Yeah, it's Neil. And so my brother Neil lives in like Venice, and Norm lives in like Venice. I know they're close by, you know. So one time they go, can you drive Norm home? And I'm working at the show, but I don't know him that well, you know. So I go, yeah. So, you know, Norm is like, it's a Friday. We don't have to work the next day. So, you know, I pull up to his house. He goes, you want to come in? I go, no. Because I think he's like, you know, tricking me, you know. Like, because if I say yes, he'll go, fag. So he goes, you want to come in?
You
I go.
Really said no?
Yeah, I go, no, I don't want to come in.
Well, you are OCD. What did you think was going to happen?
No, I don't know exactly what happened. I'll tell if you let me tell the story. So I go, he goes, I'm not going to try to fuck you. What are you, crazy? He goes, what do you think? I'm going to show you my etchings? I don't know what the fuck. Plus, there's no parking down there, you know? So anyway, we find parking. I go up to his house. And then we're sitting there, and he starts... Lori Joe calls him. That's his, like, his assistant. Make sure we got home safe. Then he's like, then he goes, oh, you know this author? Like, he gets, I'm not even making this up. He gets out a book.
Oh, so you went in?
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go in?
Because he was like, he made me feel bad. He goes, I'm not going to try to fuck you. So I go, all right. You know, I wasn't getting a lot of jokes on. So I'm like, all right, let me try to...
Give him a piece of paper and make him sign that he wasn't going to...
Yeah, no, I mean, but it was like a nervous situation because he's like my
boss.
He's
right.
My boss. So right. And so then he starts reading. You know, I think he was high because he said he had pot on him. He said if the cops pull us over, say it's Stevie Ray Frumstein. You know him, Stevie Ray Frumstein? No, they're both from Canada. So Norm was being funny. You know, he goes, if the cops pull us over, say it's Stevie Ray Frumstein's weed. It was my car, but it wasn't my weed. So why would I get? I would have got busted anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's California, so they'll probably get nothing. Be a good story. But anyway, so then I go up there, you know, and I know he's like a little buzzed or whatever. So then he starts reading.
And are you still?
No. So then he's reading to me. He's reading from his fucking favorite author. And I'm like, what the? I'm like, is this turning into like something? So then he goes.
Like, this is like a PBS Predator. Like,
yeah. So then he goes, this is what I think is like good writing. So or whatever he said. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm a shit writer. I know I'm not getting a lot of jokes on. I get it. So then he goes, all right, get the fuck out of here. So then he kicks me out, you know.
How long were you there for?
Probably like 20 minutes. But I'm like, I couldn't wait to get out of there. I couldn't fucking wait, you know.
But you
and he had two cats or three cats. I'm like, fuck this. I go, this guy's a fag. So then... But I knew he wasn't.
You can't I knew he on stage anymore.
No, I knew he wasn't because I just knew, you know,
you
whatever.
You never know one night somebody.
So then I leave, you know. So then
pretty.
So then I leave, and then we're back at work the next week, and he goes, yeah, so Brandon drops me off. He's telling the whole fucking staff. You know, all the writers at one of the writers' rooms, and he goes, yeah, so Brennan drops me off. He goes, can I come up? He spun the story around. And I go, what, do you want to fuck me? And you know when Norm tells the story, like, what, do you want to fuck me? So I go, no, that's not how it happened. But, no, you know, they're not going to believe me anyway. But I'm saying, like, if I was a woman, I would have had to fuck him, you know?
Well,
like,
that's the thing, like,
or at least give him a hand job or blow him because I need my job. He could have fired me.
Right.
I mean, I'm not getting a lot of jokes on it. I wasn't getting enough jokes on. As the weeks went by, I get more jokes on, but not because of that. But
well, everybody, look, the whole, since the beginning of time, people have sucked up to the boss or sucked up to the teacher to get a better grade. It's like
I mean, Mad Men, wasn't Mad Men all that? Wasn't Mad, my wife loves Mad Men. I go, what the fuck, how can you
exactly
love the show? I like it for, you know, because of that era. I go, that era was guys were fucking their secretaries, right. And they had to fucking they had to love it.
I had a friend that who said to me, like, these women that went to the hotel to meet with Harvey Weinstein. Here's a guy with a giant office and a giant lot. You got to go to the Peninsula Hotel to have a meeting. Just say no. I want to have the meeting. And
but you can't. You can't.
Exactly.
Can.
On the one hand, he's right, but on the other hand, it's like this is the guy that maybe opens the door and whatever. And it's like, and so you kind of go, okay, I should go. But then I think they all probably hope, oh, nothing really bad's going to happen. We'll have a drink and we'll talk about the thing, and then it goes to fucking crazy.
Plus, here's another thing: is like the problem with show business. There's not a lot of long term jobs, you know. So this Norm show lasts the one season, you know. If it's like a job where I have job security or whatever, but in show business, you're even if you're on a show, it might get canceled. Then you got to get another job. So you're always looking for fucking context, right. But you can't get a. You know, he used to Harvey Weinstein. If they didn't fuck him, he would like talk bad about him. So
well, he do, and then when
so since you're there's no steady jobs, you're kind of fucked, yeah. You know.
Now, what would if Norm said? You'll get a lot of jokes on if you tickle my balls. Would you have done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I
without even with no
just
doubt.
And you can look away.
Yeah. Would I have sucked his dick? No. Norm actually dared us one time because we were talking about like how come no gay guy. This is before you know guy came out being gay in professional sports. He goes, how come? He goes, how come no one's ever come out? Like we were debating, is how come no one's ever come out in professional sports? I'm like, they can't come out because. They'll be ostracized. It'll be a fucking nightmare. So he goes, and he kept, Norm kept talking about it. And I go, Norm, you got something you want to tell us? he goes, nothing could, he goes, male or female couldn't make me hard at my age. He says that. I said, are you daring us to blow you? Then he goes, Brennan's got a lot of opinions about blowjobs or whatever. I mean, he always turned it against me. But, I mean, he said he couldn't get, so he wasn't at that age where he's like,
yeah.
You know. But yeah. I think some guys like Charlie Rose, you know. I mean, if you're 72, do you want to fuck a 60-year-old woman?
No.
So you maybe your dick doesn't get work like it used to. So I'm like, maybe having a 25-year-old intern who's totally at your mercy is the only thing that gets his dick hard.
He's got to know that it's not like out of love. It's just, and he's got to know that he's intimidating this 25-year-old.
No, it's got to be horrible. It's the only equivalent I can think is when like me and Attell used to go to strip clubs a lot.
Yeah,
we would always go like whenever Christmas because you know Attell's a dirty Jew, and but so Attell never celebrated Christmas, you know. So we would always go to like flash dancers on Christmas because they were always so humiliated to be working there Christmas Eve, you know, yeah. The strippers, because they always have the upper hand, you know.
Yeah. So you went to make them feel good?
Make them feel bad. No, we'd go to make them feel bad. Like, oh, like, aren't you ashamed of yourself? How many bad choices that you make that you're working at a strip club on New Year's Eve? And it was like, I'm not comfortable making women feel bad. But I was comfortable with that. But to be Charlie Rose, no, to be Charlie Rose and you're 72 and you're like, you got to be a real fucking dick, a prick to fucking To do that to a fucking 25-year-old.
That could be literally, he's 75, that could literally be your granddaughter.
Yeah, it's sick. It's sick. I could see if it like it comes out of like some natural, even though it's never natural if you're 75 and she's 25.
Yeah, but if something happens in this flirting.
Yeah, it's mutual, but it's like.
Somebody tried on MSNBC to equate Bill Clinton and said that Monica Lewinsky was a victim and all this stuff, and tried to equate Monica Lewinsky to all these women that have been getting sexually harassed. And I'm like, no. She was 20, but she flirted with the guy. She fucking wanted the guy. She wanted to blow the guy. Like, it's a completely different playing field. So you can't. Hey, what's up?
This is like
over.
A PBS taping. Relax.
We're at the Comedy
Cellar. Oh, he's drunk. I know that drunk look.
This is Noam Dorman, the owner of the Comedy Cellar, who's been on the podcast. Come over here and say hi.
Hello, hello, gentlemen. Hello.
We're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace and in life, and how shocked we were.
He's all for it. He owns the place.
And how shocked we were that Charlie Rose and Garrison Keillor got nailed.
I don't know who Garrison Keillor is.
No, you do. He's from Minnesota.
Wobegon. He does that thing on NPR.
He's the third biggest thing from Minnesota other than Prince and Nick Swartzen.
I don't know who he is, but I can't believe he did it, though.
Yeah,
you would do it, though, right?
I would do what?
You would take advantage of your position of power?
Take advantage? I mean, I married a waitress.
Right. He said yes because
he wanted better shifts.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you this.
Where I remember, she doesn't remember this, but I remember. I remember chasing her around. I was 30 years old. I think 30 years old. She was 19. I was chasing her around my apartment while she was pregnant with another guy's baby.
Wow. That is a good story.
Chasing her around, begging her.
Was she showing?
And she never. No, I didn't say that. And she never felt I was harassing her because I wasn't harassing her. We were friends, you know.
Was she showing? She was like pregnant porn or no?
Yeah, she was showing. I didn't care.
You didn't care?
They're curvy.
They're curvy. She's Puerto Rican, you know.
She said Puerto Rican. They're curvy women. Actually, they got curvy stomachs.
I said you can't get pregnant. She goes, no, actually, we can get pregnant again.
What I was saying is human nature for a guy to try to take advantage of a situation like that.
No, I'm joking. It's not.
Charlie Rose at 75, hitting on a 25-year-old. That's the crosses the line of real sickness because it's like hitting on your granddaughter. It's like,
you know what, Paul? When you're fucking 75, then you tell me that. You fucking judgmental.
Yeah, right.
No, I
agree with Noam. I flip flop.
Have you ever seen one of those Roger Moore James Bond movies from the 70s?
We grew up on those.
70.
Yeah,
18-year-old girls.
Aquapussy, is that the name of it?
Octopussy. It looks so weird now. At the time, it seemed totally plausible.
I know, we loved it. So I can't wait to get a boat.
Listen.
Hot women love boats.
If a 25-year-old woman, you think Sean Connery couldn't bang 25-year-old women when he was 75? Of course he could.
Charlie Rose, I mean, that's just.
Yeah, but he would take advantage of, like, they were interns. They were dead. They were desperate women. They had to fuck them. They basically had to play ball, you know?
Bring a 20, 25, 21, 22-year-old intern in and made her watch sex scenes in a movie and asked her what she thought of it. She's like, what is this? This is the And he's standing over her. Like, what are you going to do? This is your
Yeah,
boss.
He would come out of his... He would take a shower and come out with like, no talent. Do you ever do that at home? Yeah, have you ever seduced anybody by coming out of a shower with no talent?
And want to discuss movie scenes?
The funny thing about this is I know both of you are full of shit. And I know both of you have done something.
I haven't done anything. I'm intimidated by women. I really am. Yeah.
Let me tell you. This is what I was saying today. There is not one person... who behind the wheel of a car has not at one time done something that was reckless in terms of distracted driving, a text message, a phone call, getting a blowjob, whatever it is, everybody. And if you would have the bad luck at that one time you did it to have an accident, kill somebody, everybody would be talking about what a monster you were. Everybody would be judgmental when everybody has just luckily not had bad luck when they did their thing. There's got to be a margin of error in life for sex because sex is mysterious and dark and dangerous and nobody really understands it. Now, I'm not saying not a margin for error of rape or anything like that, but there's got to be, we have to understand that there is some margin of error in sexual situations because nobody's quite sure What's good? What's not? What's consent? What's not? When does she? I mean, are you gonna ask every time you lean in to kiss somebody whether it's okay?
No, I know, but that argument's gonna work if somebody has one or two episodes. But if you got like a track record of a Harvey Weinstein or a Charlie Rose, it doesn't become that situation.
No, Harvey Weinstein is beyond the margin of error.
Predator. Those are predators.
But other people we know, I'm not sure. I mean, if you ask, you ask. You can't ask.
Yeah, but you never taken your dick out and started jerking off in front of people, have you?
At Ben's. Did you do it at Ben's once? Ben's Pizza?
Well, how about when you how about when you count the money at the end of the night after a big Saturday night here? You start jerking off?
Blow a load on a pile of ones?
No, I've never done that, but that's not my thing.
Yeah, but you know that's weird because the guys who do it in public, if a guy jerks off on a subway, you know he's got problems.
Listen, I've had women ask me to masturbate in front of them.
That's different. I'm saying, like, I say if you're on a subway, the guy starts jerking off. All the women, every hot woman, every good-looking woman in New York has a story where a guy starts jerking off in front of them.
Yes.
So, and those are weird guys. So if a guy we know that maybe worked at your club did it.
Did they ask? Has a homeless guy ever come into a subway car and said, does anybody mind? It's quite different.
Yeah, if it was consensual with the whole car. He's got to get permission from the whole car.
I'm just saying
in the back of your mind, you're saying margarine. I'm saying in the back of your mind, you know, when Charlie Rose comes out and he's 75, he don't have a towel on, and he's got a 30-year-old intern there waiting for him. He knows in the back of his mind it's fucked up. You just know. So you're talking
about
the margin of error. That's the margin of error.
It's not the car accident thing you talked about, which is a great analogy, but that is not that.
And our friend was dumb to do it with two comics because then it's two against one. You do it with one, then it's he said, she said.
I don't know.
But there's a witness.
Hold on. If you take out your dick in front of 100 comics in a hotel room, nobody's going to call that sexual harassment. You would. So I think, you have to draw the lines somewhere.
It's a gag.
One-on-one is the most likely sexual harassment. It seems to me two-on-one is less likely sexual harassment because
you're going to get in trouble that way. But maybe he thought he wouldn't because, like you said, it was like he was just goofing around and he wasn't trying to get away with anything.
He did this at the Chris Rock show, right? He did had somebody come into his office. He wasn't the Louis that he is now. He didn't have anywhere near the kind of...
Louis, we're talking about...
can we use a...
We didn't say his name.
Can we use a fake name?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Bowie?
Bowie. Bowie.
I actually don't like to make jokes about this because I feel very strongly that he's getting a bum rap, and I don't want to make jokes about it, but go ahead.
That being said, I own the club.
No,
that being said,
I'm really serious. Like, I feel like I'm just like it's irresistible to make. Listen, comedians.
No, it is. It's.
Have you ever been to a comedian's funeral? Everybody makes jokes. I mean, it's just the way it is. They make jokes.
A joke. I wasn't about to make a joke at all.
No. Yeah, comics pile on. They pile on a situation. Everybody does.
At all. I was just saying if he's working at HBO, and from what I read, somebody went to the people at Chris Rock's the show producers and said something. You know, why didn't they talk to him? Like, I mean, you know, like there were things along.
Maybe they
the way.
Did though. Maybe
they did.
Did.
I don't know.
Well, that's Courtney Cox and David Arquette.
No, that was a different show.
That was a different show.
They should have done something. They're definitely liable for something.
Complicit. They're enablers.
Yeah, complicit because
that's what the
because they were bigger than Louis. So why are they just going like, what the fuck is this? You know.
Well, that's what you were saying earlier, like how people suddenly who knows something about somebody acts like they don't when it comes.
Yeah,
out in public.
Or they're so outraged when it goes public.
Right. I don't know. I asked Kevin, who's he sexually harassed? He won't tell me yet, but there's got to be somebody.
Sarah Silverman.
No, I didn't sexually harass her. I remember one time me and Attel went to, we rounded up a bunch of waitresses here, and we went to his apartment, and he had like animated like Japanese porn running continuously, and I thought, isn't this something? I mean, it wasn't really putting it because it was like comical, because they were fucking cartoons, you know. But I still thought it was like slightly inappropriate, but not for Attel, you know. Yeah. That's what they like. That's what these whores like. When they're done with the shift, after they count their money, they like to watch animated Japanese porn. I'm like, okay.
Well, this is,
no, I don't have the balls to do it. I don't have the balls to do it.
There is something that is true that people who don't live the lifestyle of late night musicians, comedians, 3 a.m, hanging out in hotels, they don't understand shit goes down. Like it's not so like crazy
It's
seeing
not.
This stuff. Hey, do you mind? Because the weirdest fucking shit happens all the time.
Yeah, and I was saying on one of my many podcasts that, like, how much shit did Richard Pryor do if he was around? Like, he used to beat the shit out of his girlfriend, and he admitted it. Later on, he admitted it in books. He's like, yeah, you know, I was a dick then. Now I have cerebral palsy, so my aim is not as good, you know. So, but again, like, look at the top 20 comics of all time. Most of them are dickheads, you know what I mean? Or drug addicts, or fucking, you know, Robin Williams killed himself. It's like, it's not normal people, you know?
I don't know, though. Then you look at somebody like Matt Lauer, which is, he's in a very corporate environment, and he's doing shit.
But that's
worse
a power,
than,
that's a power thing. But again, it's still show business. It's still, he's got a lot of power.
Was he married, Matt Lauer?
Yeah. But it's been
no choice.
No, but they've been living. No, but they've been living separate lives for years. She lives on. She lives on Long.
Why is that? What's that?
Because they were going to get divorced in 2006.
She realized the money's too good, so she lives in the Hamptons year round.
Yeah, whatever. For the kids or whatever. Why are you still married? For the kids?
I love my wife. Why are you laughing? Now, Louis, not me. Listen, this is the thing. When somebody's famous like that, it's very difficult for them to get it to do anything, like if they want it, so they have to do it in the office. Like, he's famous, he can't go out to a
and he's
drink,
everybody knows he's
girl.
Married. He can't go on a road, go to a bar at the hotel and hit on women.
People say, how could Arnold Schwarzenegger bang the nanny? She was, he had to bang the nanny. There was no one else.
That was all he could do. And no, it's like what Letterman did. You poach what's there because you have no other options. You know.
You know, fame is really a cage.
It's a I hate it. That's why I avoid it at all costs.
You get a, and I'm not joking, I tweeted this out yesterday, you get a high-priced hooker.
It's not the same.
Go to Vegas and
it's
get
not
a
the same.
Why is that not the same?
Spitzer did, it didn't work out. It's like, I mean, he's an idiot, but still, it's like, a lot of people don't want to pay. They want the, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen?
They like
the suspense.
They like the suspense and the danger of going after something.
It's hunting. Guys like the hunt of it. They like the hunt. That's why when you're married, it's like being a fucking lion at the zoo, right? They throw you some food and you gotta be docile.
You get food? Listen, I think it's more than that. I mean, you want her to want you, right?
What?
You don't want a hooker. Like, the best hooker would be one who could somehow convince you that she wants you, but she's a hooker. This is her job.
Oh, I thought you said watch you, want you. Yeah, no. And I think there's no danger in it, so you're right. It's boring. It's like, I paid for it, so I'm not doing anything really.
Yeah, they're not into it. They're not into it. Not that I would know, but I just heard.
I've never been into danger. I don't like the danger.
Yes, you do.
Chasing a pregnant woman. I've heard. What are you talking about?
She could have fallen
dangerous.
And killed that baby.
I don't like
your
danger.
Stepson. No luck. No luck with the falling. No, I've heard your stories, Noam. You love danger.
You are Mr. Danger. Danger is your middle name.
You're like that guy. What's it? What was his name? The
Elie Wiesel?
No, Wiener. What was Anthony Wiener's? Carlos Danger.
Carlos Danger.
Anthony Wiener's violations look quaint.
Yeah, but he was such a fucking idiot.
He went
idiot.
To jail.
Yeah, he's 2 years.
Yeah, but he's an idiot. First of all, your name's Wiener. You just got to not be that dumb. You know what I mean?
You want to talk about Anthony Wiener? This is the thing.
Did you know him? Was he?
No.
Was he,
he was John Stewart's roommate, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, was he?
If you look at, like, my daughter's beginning to read. So I'm reading the Fios channel guide. Hot, barely legal teens take stiff black. It's all, like, barely legal, but... What kind of culture? Now, what is barely legal? Barely legal means they're going to look underage in the porn, but the actors are of age. So we're telling everybody that it's a totally normal thing to want to jerk off to underage girls. So normal that we're going to put it on mainstream Verizon files and nothing to be ashamed of. And then, you know, you're talking to girls on the internet and all of a sudden you send them a picture. What the fuck is the matter with you? Are you an animal? There's some hypocrisy there, right?
Yeah, like, but that's you know the difference between like real life and fucking.
But I'm saying that if the attraction is so normal and typical,
yeah,
that
but you're an idiot. No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying you're an idiot if you're texting people you don't know who they are and you're running for office. I'm just saying even when I watch porn and I go, oh, she's a teenager. I'm like, I don't want to get fucking busted because I'm jerking off. I wait till they're like 70 and then I can relax and jerk off. But, you know, I mean, that's how Pete Townsend got busted because. I mean, I think the idea is never pay for it, but like he was doing research or whatever, but they can kind of come at you or, you know, they know what you're from your computer numbers. They can find out if you're, if she's underage. I don't think you can get in trouble, but who the fuck knows? Nobody knows these laws, you know? Okay. You guys are both lawyers, and you don't even know.
I'm just saying. I thank God I don't like that young girl stuff. But I'm just saying, a lot of the people who are looking down there, the judge who sentenced Anthony Weiner might have gone home that night and ordered pay-per-view barely legal porn. Well, you know, it's like there is something wrong there.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's still an idiot.
Yes, of course he's an idiot.
On the spectrum, he's not a Harvey Weinstein or a fucking Kevin Spacey. You know, he sent pictures.
He's not even a Paul Mercurio.
He's, you know, so it's sort of like, on some level, he's like, he's sitting in jail for 2 years.
No, he's...
For some dick pics. I'm not
But he kept doing it. He kept doing it. You got to fucking stop. You got to...
No, he only did it one time illegally.
No, but he kept doing it. He kept getting busted, and then he's going to run for mayor, and then he got busted again, then he got busted after that.
The line was when he took a picture of his
with
dick
his son.
With
that's pathetic. Put your kids to sleep, then you do it. Everybody knows that. For real, do you ever jerk off with your kids around?
No. But no, I've had sex in the bed with my wife while the baby was in the bed with us.
Of course, of course.
In the same bed. In the bed with your kids?
Sleeping.
What are you, freaks? What kind of a... That
I've
that
done it. High five.
it absorbs into the brain. That's not a healthy thing.
No, it's all right if they're sleeping.
My wife... If the dog is in the room, the dog has to go out of the room. Let alone a baby in a bed? Why would you not move?
Well,
the baby?
I come quick, so it doesn't. It's not
Why
a big
don't you
deal.
Put the baby on the floor for 5 minutes.
On the floor?
Yeah, it's just a floor.
That's even worse.
It's a rug. Put a fucking rug.
Noam's right.
You just rub it out there with the baby sleeping. Then nobody knows.
Nobody. The baby's got many things to worry about, but they don't care about that. Yeah, that's how you make a baby.
That's.
Anyway,
I think everybody's. I can't believe. You have like
here,
the
no.
Most...
Here, no. Let me just say this.
Yeah.
What women don't understand is guys have a different. What women want, you know, I don't know if they all want the fucking clean sheets and the rose petals, but guys don't want that at all. Guys want something dirty, and you know, once in a while they want to fucking, you know, get a hotel, get a Marriott for a 3-day weekend. But guys want fucking dirty sex, you know. Guys' sex drive is based on, like, you know, a variety and weirdness and anal, just anything that's kind of bad.
Do you initiate? I have to initiate all the time. Do you initiate sex, or does your wife?
No, sometimes my wife does. I mean, I know when she wants to have sex with me. She'll start talking to me. I'm not even kidding. She'll go, how was the show last night? I go, here we go. Let me get my blue pill.
Does your wife listen to your podcast?
Yeah, she does occasionally. Yeah, she'll listen to this. She knows. We've talked about it. I don't know if I've ever talked about it in public, but, you know.
No, but women think guys want to have the same sex drive and we want stuff. We don't.
You know what a dumb thing he just said?
What?
He's so pleasant. I'm like, does your wife listen to this? He goes, no, she knows.
Yeah. She knows
yeah,
what
she
I want.
She doesn't know you're talking about it to America.
Yeah.
She knows she's frigid.
Whenever something happens, women are always like, how could guys do that? It's like, that's what we want dirty shit. We want to fuck the nanny because it's so wrong that guys get off on that.
The danger of it. Yeah.
Because for guys, sex is always unexpected. When you're single, sex is always unexpected. Women might know, but guys, it's always like a surprise. So they like that element of surprise and like, holy shit, this girl might fuck me. And then once you're married, it's like, oh, there's the element of surprise is gone.
Well, what about on the road for you? Like,
yeah, I fuck everybody.
Exactly. The Mexican housekeeper?
No, I got no game. Everybody knows I got no game.
And I'm intimidated
by I'm intimidated by women anyway, so whatever. I just don't get laid a lot, you know, but I'm saying in general, guys want why don't women ever go get a hand job at a fucking happy ending place? There's millions of them. Because guys it's like dirty, you're paying, you might get busted, you know, there's an element of fucking danger, you know.
He asked me when we were in Aruba, he asked me if I would wife swap.
Oh, did I? No, first of all,
I thought your wife was pregnant.
No, I was joking. Yeah, she was pregnant.
Watch. No, let's see how joking he was. What was my wife wearing that night?
A white dress. No, she was tanned and looked very nice. Looked very elegant. Yeah.
And I just thought, dark-skinned women.
Yeah, of course. And then I thought we were out of the country. And I don't know what the laws are down there with wife swapping.
There are no laws. There are animals down.
But I did as a joke, too. And you were paying for dinner. I still said, so obviously it was a joke. So I didn't want to lose the free meal.
I was flattered. I'm not upset about it.
No, he was flattered. I think that's why I said it. That's why I said it.
Did you get your wife to do a three-way? Could you get your wife to do a three-way? I can't. I mean, I haven't asked her. I wouldn't even ask.
You mean with two women?
No, well, we're talking about you and Juanita being pregnant. Not that kind of a three-way.
No, she wouldn't do it.
Women think they can, and then they can't.
Right.
Well, your dad had a great story. You must have known that story, right? When he was doing a menage a trois with two women, and they were, like, really into... Can I tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, they were, like... I think he was dating one of them, and the other one brought a friend, and then at one point, the women were so into each other, they just asked him to leave. So I think a menage a trois, unless it's porn, that usually backfires. You know what I mean? It's like... And first of all, how are you going to... Can you fuck two women at once? Can you... I couldn't even hold on to it for that long. I don't want to disappoint two women. I mean, seriously. They're both like, oh, this guy comes quick. If it's just one, you're like, oh, you can deal with it, you know?
I've had some good menage a trois.
Huh?
I used to have a weekly menage a trois with two black girls.
Like, no, you didn't.
It was a weekly thing, yeah.
And you were dating one?
No, I wasn't dating either of them. It was just a thing. Just the three of us used to go hang out.
Wow, that was back when you were in a band?
No, yeah. Was a month ago.
And we were still friends.
For real?
Yeah.
They went to your wedding?
But what happens is... No, they didn't go to the wedding. What happens is that... Over time, two people get more into each other, and the third one feels like the odd person out, and that's when it ends.
Here's why I wouldn't do it.
And one of the women dropped out, and then you...
One of the women dropped out, and I continued with one of the girls for a while.
See, I wouldn't do it. I read this article about this guy, married, wanted to spice up the relationship, kept insisting with his wife, let's get a woman. The wife said, no. She finally gave in. She fell in love with the other woman and left the guy.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
That's what
it always backfires. And I've just heard, you know, it's like let's say you get a... let's say you're married and you get a third party, you know. Your wife obviously is going to... You're going to spend more attention... You're going to spend with the new one, you're just going to get all your attention.
Attention anyway.
Yeah, so your wife's going to be like, hey, I'm over here. Am I chopped liver? Like, literally, you are chopped liver, you know?
Yeah,
so I've never done it, but I've heard it, and it makes total sense. Like,
it's like getting a new toy.
Yeah, of course you're going to spend more attention. Your wife's going to, my wife at one point would just go, stop, leave, get the fuck out. And then it would be the end of it. I think he had the right way. Just he wasn't dating either one.
Get it out of your system when you're young.
And they were both,
it's not something you do with your wife. That would be a big mistake.
They were both bisexual?
I guess.
You didn't even care back then.
Didn't care about what?
You didn't care who was bisexual. Everybody was bisexual then, right?
No, not me.
In the 80s, and no, I'm not saying, but all women in the 80s. Everybody who worked down here was practically bisexual. In the 80s and 90s?
I don't think they were bisexual. Women, you know, who can figure it out? Like, I don't think they would have been with other women without a man there.
Yeah.
But with a man, like, they weren't really... It was mostly... It wasn't a totally, like, lesbian thing. I had another one where there was a lesbian thing going on. But this was... It was really pretty heterosexual.
And they worked here?
No, they didn't work here. They were... They used to come see the band.
How does the Bill Cosby thing look in the context of all this sexual harassment now? Does it still look as bad as it looked?
Yeah,
then?
It looks even worse. Because he what he presented himself as being, like this great person, and yeah. I mean,
he's the worst of all the criminals. I mean, that's drug a girl and have sex with her.
And plus, he didn't even have to do it. He could have just fucked them straight up.
Most of these guys didn't have to harass anybody. To get off.
That's the power argument, right? It's all about power.
And again, that's like guys like SX with a little bit of an edge to it, you know? It's just except for me, but you know, guys wanted edgy. They wanted edgy, period. And women don't understand it. That's why there was like outrage. I'm like, wait, you know, I talk about Charlie Rose. I'm like, yeah, everybody, all guys get Charlie Rose. They're like, he's 75. He's still on TV. He's still making cash. And he wants a young girl to touch his dick before he jerks off, you know?
He's a single guy in Manhattan.
No, he's not single. He's married, right?
No, he's not married.
No, he was married.
No, he dates a woman.
Oh, all right. Well, it's still
okay,
the same thing.
I'm sure you feel the same way. It is something nice to see these fucking sanctimonious liberals who you know would be making the remarks and looking down their nose. I think Matt Lauer did make some really, like, I think Matt Lauer was involved in the leaking of the Donald Trump pussy grab tape.
Maybe.
I think I read that.
But he asked Bill O'Reilly some tough questions.
Who, Matt Lauer?
Yeah, you didn't see the clip?
No.
No, he said he was face-to-face with Bill O'Reilly. He goes, wait, so you were their biggest revenue earner at the network, and they paid her $32 million or whatever, he goes, for tax? I go, what? He basically goes, what was in these tax that they had to get rid of her so badly and get rid of you so badly if you're making them that much money? And he's like, he goes, it's just hearsay. There's no, but basically he's saying that he did the same thing, you know? So he's basically saying what happened to him to Bill O'Reilly. So he's full of shit. They're all full of shit. Who isn't full of shit? Who do you know in show business that not full
of shit? Let's look at Al Franken. Al Franken had the fucking, who I don't think he should resign or anything, has the fucking nerve to say, you know, I'm a warm guy and I hug people, and some people take it the wrong way. When the girls say he'd grab it. Can you imagine if Al Franken were on the other end of that, how, and it was a Republican guy who would, he would be belittling and enjoying and made it the fucking,
yeah, but either way, you're fucked now.
What about
but he says he's a comic. I think he used the, like, I was just goofing around. It was a joke that backfired.
What about Roy Moore?
No,
is that his name? Ray Moore?
Roy Moore, yeah. Yeah, the guy's a pervert.
Why?
Because he...
I mean, I'm asking you. I just,
first of all, have you ever been kicked out of a mall?
You gotta do a lot to get kicked
out.
No. I mean, even if they're all in cahoots, it's pretty hard to get that many people in cahoots. You've had threesomes. I mean, how much organizational things... I mean, all these women are saying the same thing. The people at the mall are saying, like, they asked them to leave the mall. That's a lot. Even when you shoplift, they let you come back.
Yeah, the mall thing is the worst thing. But if I had to be his
You're not supporting him, are you?
No, but if I had to be his defense attorney, this is the thing. In the South, as far as I know, especially 30 years ago, I believe you could get married at 14 with your parents' permission. In Puerto Rico today, the age of consent is 14. And in various cultures where. If the legislature of a particular culture, time and place, says it's okay to get married at 14 as long as you get an adult's consent, well, who's going to marry somebody at 14 except someone who's dating somebody who's 14? Now, and they don't think it's going to be two 14-year-olds getting married. There was a common thing where older guys would go out with younger. Now, it seems crazy to us now.
Nevertheless, but it wasn't that common. A 32-year-old and a 14-year-old walking down the aisle?
Jerry Lee Lewis had that thing with his cousin who was 14.
Yeah, but that's show business.
It's the South.
It's not politics. Politics is different because your perception is reality. I mean, what's that guy, fucking R. Kelly? He pisses. I mean,
so,
a lot of times.
So what do we think about the fact that 14 is the age of consent in Puerto Rico? That's part of the United States of America.
That's why we go there for vacation.
So okay, it's legal. It's legal, but anybody who actually does it legally is an animal and shouldn't have a career. It's like,
yeah, but people don't think
the fact that it's legal. The fact that it's legal doesn't mean that it's right. It just is maybe a bad law.
Yeah, we don't. We as Americans, we don't think 14 is a civilized age.
Well, Puerto Rico's American.
Yeah, but they're not civilized. You ever been there?
American, every law in America and every state is a righteous law and a good law. That's a bad, stupid fucking law.
I mean, the legislature, they got together and said, okay, let's pick an age. And some people probably said 12, 13, and they settled on 14.
Because that was an average. So somebody came in at 10, and somebody had to go in at 18.
You know they didn't take the lowest offer.
That's a good bit. Thanks, Noah.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. We got to do this again. This was fun. We're at the Comedy Cellar. That was Noam Dorman. This is Kevin Brennan. I'm me, and we're going to get together again, and we'll solve some world problems. And get you, too. We'll get a third microphone. You got anything else?
That's
Misery Loves Company.
Misery Loves Company on iTunes and then on Kumia Bernie Bridges, Kumia Network, Compound Media.
Okay. And when you get, you got to go shop now for your wife and your family.
Yeah, I do. I got to take all this, everything I said about my wife, I have to have deleted out. Right, I just realized.
I'm going to have the whole thing redacted. Yeah.
No, I love my wife. And like,
I love her too.
No, I like, because after spots, I'd rather shop after spots because I got more energy than I do in the morning. So the fucking D'Agostino's or whatever the fuck it is open around the corner. So I go shopping. Yeah. And then when's the last time you went food shopping?
Yes, people do that for him.
No, it was. You've never been food shopping.
I went food shopping this past Sunday.
For what?
we were having some company, and my my wife has an infant at home, so now sometimes.
Oh, that's right. But did you go? You just picked up something that she forgot, that somebody forgot?
No, she gave me a list, and then I got whatever I wanted. I'm allowed to get whatever I want.
Oh, that's good. All right. Yeah.
Wait, did you take the list and hand it to a guy and have the guy go do it, and then say you did it?
No, I got this fucking shopping cart. What is it with you?
Him with a shopping cart. I can't
see
that.
You should have Facebook Live that. We would have really got a kick out of it.
All right, we'll see everybody.
All right, thanks, Noam.
Thank you,
Noam. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Kevin.
God bless.
God bless. I love both of you. All right, that was Kevin Brennan and Noam Dworman. That was a lot of fun. Learned a lot of things, like getting hit with a belt is worse than getting hit with a shoe. I got hit with a shoe. I thought it kind of sucked, but, you know, get hit with a belt. And that Kevin, who's someone I've known a long time, likes to food shop at night. So who knew he was a freak? And Noam, of course, always adds some great stuff. He's been on the podcast before. Check me out in Tampa, December 7th through the 10th. And in Omaha, December 14th to the 17th. It's all on my website. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff. And keep spreading the podcast around. We've got some great guests coming up. And appreciate you guys checking it out and telling your friends. And we will see you next week.